They're great. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I did not use steroids, human growth hormone. I did not provide Brian McNamee with any drugs to inject into my body.
It's hogwash. I should have a third ear coming on my forehead. I should be pulling tractors with my teeth.
For the life of me, I'm trying to find out why you would tell guys
what not.
That I use steroids. Somebody's got to come tell the truth.
Now, Roger, Roger, tell me what the f*** you want me to do.
I don't need the Hall of Fame to justify that I put my butt on the line and
what
I
not
tail off. And I defy anybody to say I did it by cheating or taking any shortcuts.
Shut up!
It was great to be able to tell them what I've been saying all along, that I've never used steroids or growth hormone.
There is one short
needle used to inject Roger Clemens with steroids.
You try to find a prosecutor or a judge would ever consider this crap evidence.
The whole notion that this is manufactured evidence is ridiculous.
In my view, you're about to see the second edition of the Duke case.
One of those individuals lied, and it was not Brian McNamee.
They race to the funny. Don and Mike.
I had that Scott Shannon tape in for.
Yeah, you see when his name was mentioned?
Got it. Got it right here. Give me a moment.
Okay, great.
He's almost, everywhere.
And almost too many tapes today with this whole Roger Clemens thing. So in the middle of all of this,
I'm sorry, sir, for injecting you with steroids.
Imagine.
I'm Scott Shannon. Stand by for news.
When we heard this.
We also questioned Tommy Craig, the head trainer. He also told he had never seen a side effect like the one exhibited by Mr. Clemens from a B12 shot in 30 years as a trainer. As well, we asked the assistant trainer, Scott Shannon, in a career of almost 20 years. He said that he had never seen a B12 shot cause that kind of reaction.
I'm Scott Shannon.
I'll tell you something. I know Scott Shannon has gotten a B12 shot.
You probably seen it.
I was in the room when Robert Murphy gave Scott Shannon a B12 shot.
That's back when B12 first came on the scene.
It was like in 1979, 1980. He leaned over and said, come on. I need some wake up.
What color was it? Remember that one guy that wanted to know the... Hey, was that the most out-of-it congressman, too?
Yes.
That was asking about the colors of all the medications?
Was it milky?
Was it... What color was that? And what color was that? And then finally he gets all his color questions answered and said, your time's up, congressman. Jesus, what a waste
Very
of time.
Very productive.
Is this thing still going on, Buzz?
I don't think so, no. I think they've hung it up for the day.
Exactly. In exchange for not appearing at the hearing, Andy Pettit gave a new affidavit that he swore just in the last week, saying that Roger Clemens explicitly talked about his own human growth hormone use. Members of this committee see that as close to a magic bullet as they're going to find.
Oh, all right.
A magic bullet.
What is this? What's this one? I thought we had longer ones.
This is our second hearing on Senator Mitchell's report on the illegal use of steroids and other performance-enhancing substances by players in Major League Baseball.
All right, boring.
Right.
Where's some of Roger the Dodger? Where's some of Raj?
This hearing is focused on the accuracy of an important section of that report.
Oh, I'm on the wrong machine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to express my sympathy to the committee on the passing of Chairman Lantos. A man I understand with remarkable personal history and a man who served this country with great distinction.
That's when I knew he was lying.
Right out of the chute, right? Listen. When he does the old bait and switch there.
That's the Holocaust survivor, right? That's the
great congressman. Yeah, absolutely amazing man.
But
really, really great story.
But I guarantee, like myself, Roger Clemens had no idea who he was until he walked into the room.
Right. But he figured, it just, to me, and I guess his lawyers told him to do this, but it strikes me as kind of a schmooze.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you're doing a schmooze right out of the gate.
My condolences go out to his family and all of you.
If only I knew who he was, I would like to pull his funeral procession with my teeth.
As an ear slowly grows out of my forehead.
Thank you for allowing me to tell you a little bit about myself and how I've conducted my professional career over the past 25 years.
Wouldn't you just stand up and say, hey, thanks for your time. Let's just clear this up.
Right.
The
answer is no. I ain't going to waste no more of my time with any of ye.
If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
That's the
only I want to know.
Well, she said that.
Hello.
Yeah.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing. What's good? Did you see that sappy ass letter that Roger Clemens' apparent wife wrote?
What?
I didn't understand one word. I lost you after. Did you see?
You started out okay, and then you got all muddied.
Sorry, did you hear that apparent letter that Roger Clemens' wife wrote?
You're trying to communicate in English, but it's not coming out right.
Did you see that letter that Roger Clemens' wife apparently wrote?
Did you see that letter? You turned Roger Clemens' wife into Roger Clemens's. No, he did not.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
That's Roger Clemens.
His wife still looks hot.
Eh.
I do her.
I'm not saying I would.
Man, just seeing that. You're talking about just a profile shot at the hearing. I was looking at her today. I was kind of, she had that player wife thing going.
She looks like she's had some stuff done. She also looks like she would be real tough in bed.
That's the HGH.
Yeah. Tough like, I need to ask a few more questions of the witness. Tough insofar as tough like a
hard to
steak.
Hard to get any gold out of that mine.
Tough as in perhaps similar to the storm that we had last night, the ice storm.
Yeah, I believe,
tough in that regard.
Yeah, impenetrable. She has her force fields up. Her vaginal force fields.
Right.
She just does not look to me like the type of chick. I don't know. She's, you know, she took HGH and I don't know. Hell, it, you know, let me just say if they had FGH, you know, funny growth hormone, I'd mainline it, sure. But I don't know if I'd necessarily have my girlfriend take it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but by this time in our careers, you and I would be high all the time. Like, if we took FGH, you know, we'd be walking around, you know, and nothing would be serious.
Man, she ain't that hot. I guess for Roger Clemens,
I didn't think she was
that.
She's okay. I mean, I was just commenting, you know, when you see all those, you know, lawyers sitting in the front row, it's nice to take a look at her.
Compared to the aliens, she's nice looking.
Yeah, and she was just a little breath of fresh air. I also noticed behind that New York congresswoman, there was kind of an angry-looking bad girl that was sitting back in back of her that appeared to be kind of like naughty.
What I want to know is
you speculate when you see people that are on TV that can't make any comments.
Who's the person who has the job to tell these congressmen when they're just blathering on and they're saying the wrong stuff?
Well, that's just an aide. Isn't
it's staff members.
Because someone whispers in the ear like, you know, you're reading from the wrong page.
Well, the woman that you're in love with, my sister, is married to a guy that used to do that. And Paul was
I never said I'm in love with her.
Oh, you're in lust with her. I'm sorry. You're in lust with her. And you've been with her. And I accept that.
They've had a past. You
know, they've had a bit of a past. Sure. Paul would be at those things. And they're the guys that really do most of the work and prepare most of the documents. And then they will whisper in a congressman's ear, you know, excuse me, congressman, you're reading off the wrong page. You're totally wrong. Or you have just cut the worst fart I have ever experienced.
What?
The third guy that was under oath tap dancing when they asked if Mitchell had written everything in the report.
Yeah, he started out real strong and then he backed off.
Well, he saw everything.
And actually, Mike, I only have phone sex with your sister now.
Well, now.
Well, that's now.
Now.
I'm talking about the history is what I'm talking about. And excuse me for saying, you know, not in love, lust. I'll pass those sentiments on tonight.
Wow. Hey, she's a realist.
Yeah.
She's a modern woman.
Okay, then I guess she won't be hurt by that.
She knows the score.
She'll be hurt.
She knows the score.
She will be hurt.
She looks for my caller ID. Hello, as we do our thing, me and your sister.
D-O-T.
Me and your sister.
Hey, guys.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
Hi. Hey, Brian McNamee is an ex-cop turned drug dealer. Why would anybody listen to what he ever had to say again? A disgrace to the badge.
All right. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way you do. What do you think? You think Clemens is telling the truth then?
You know what? I don't think we'll ever know who told the truth out of what. Because you really can't speak to Clemens' credibility, but McNamee's credibility is shot for having disgraced the badge. I mean, I don't know why anybody would ever believe anything else he ever had to say again.
I would believe him because he used to be a cop. I mean, I know that there are bad cops out there, and maybe this doesn't sound like a fluid argument, but I believe the guy because, unlike Clemens, he's sitting there when they're calling him all the stuff he's done. He's going, yeah.
Yeah, but also the one thing they say about Brian McNamee, he lies. He lies out of convenience. When it's convenient to lie, what is convenient or helpful to him, or why would he be motivated?
Yeah, but a crooked cop who disgraced the badge.
What's his motive?
By becoming a drug dealer.
You're a cop. If you're a cop, I'm asking you about motive. What is motive? Give me motive. Clemens has all the motive in the world. Where's the motive for Brian McNamee?
You've got it there.
There you go, Mike. Congratulations. Right. You just won another case.
I really feel like I was a trial lawyer then. That was fun.
You just kicked his damn ass.
God, I wish I knew book learning a little bit more.
Oh, come on. Don't kid yourself.
If you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job.
Man, really, all those years at American University just majoring in hangovers.
You're smarter than the current temperature. I will give you, that's a compliment.
Yeah. Thank you.
What is the current temperature?
35.
Got it.
Smarter and older.
Much smarter than that. I made a huge mistake today going in to CVS. Like Chris Berman, I'm addicted to pills.
Right.
So I had to go in to get my regular, actually I had to get my nighty night pills today. My Lunesta. Mm.
And you had to stock up on your supply of Lotrimin, right, too? I'm just laughing.
What does Lotrimin
do? I was making a joke. It's like an antifungal. Why are you looking at me like
that? It's really not funny because, fungus is nothing to laugh about.
I know.
I cream my feet at night now because I've come so far.
Really?
Yes, with fungal and fungi and feet stuff.
Well, I will, since I gave you that little dig, I perhaps was directing it at myself, because you will be happy to know a purchase was made in the O'Mara household in the last 3 days.
Wow.
Tenactin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a little between the toes.
Oh, for your feet.
Yeah, did a little spray there.
Go for the spray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always go for the spray.
Well, the spray turns into a powder.
Yeah. Janet got me this stuff that's for dry feet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, works great.
Dry feet.
Works great. I have dry feet.
Do you have dry feet?
I do.
Not now. Okay.
Listen, I've always had a thing about my feet.
I know.
I'm starting to maybe come out of my foot shell.
Good. Well, next to the reason I made that joke was because next to the Tenactin was Lotrimin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're all like the same stuff.
Antifungals.
Antifungal.
Right.
Whatever the one Madden uses is the one that I use.
Sulfactant Tenactin.
That's the one.
He's got it. What about you, Regis?
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
I don't think you'd use it for that.
You wouldn't. You shouldn't.
Anyway, I was in CVS, so I'm there, and as I walk in the store, I realize immediately, hold on, mistake. This is the day about 1 p.m. Why is it so crowded in here? Mm-hmm. Of course, it's the day before Valentine's Day, and there had to be in this drugstore, this CVS, 25 guys that had that look. And you know the look.
Mm-hmm.
Were you just wandering from aisle to aisle?
Yeah, you know nothing of what you're doing.
I don't know what it is. And by the time I get back to the pharmacy place and I wait for my turn at the pickup, the very first thing the guy says to me is, all Valentine's purchases, front registers only. Because I guess they had people that were trying to, you know, beat the system,
bring
their stuff to the back. So I had to say to him, hey, no, listen, I'm just here for my prescription.
Uh-huh.
And then it was a funny moment because I did have a card.
You can do that. That's
and
all right.
Right as he was scanning that thing where he says, sign here. Do you have any questions about the medication? I said, no, I don't. But how about this?
That's all right.
And very seriously, the guy looked around like, okay.
Don't he's let anyone breaking else. The rule.
I'll let it go. And as I left, the poor fellas that are there picking through really what is just the worst of what is left.
Right.
Your big full-size Whitman samplers, gone.
Right.
The only bears that are there look like slightly retarded bears with like the arm that's maybe going one weird way. There's lots of licorice, lots of candy that girls don't like. And the poor guys walking around like Night of the Living Dead, just like zombies.
It's the ultimate rush, isn't it? Because, and I'm not talking about a good rush, it's the ultimate sales rush because really, 2 days ago, you could have gotten anything in the store.
True.
You
absolutely
could have gotten anything. This is
last
a day
hours
before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 48 hours out. That's the purchase that we're dealing with here.
But these poor saps, these poor guys, and just walking around.
We're pathetic. We men are pathetic in this country.
I wanted so much. I do think one of my gifts, seriously, is being able to look at a serious card and sizing it up immediately to figure out if when she opens it, she's going to thank your aces.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you care so goddamn much.
Do you go to the sappy cards now, primarily?
I didn't do sappy this year. I don't want to ruin it in case my special ladies listen.
All right. Okay.
We're doing something kind of crazy, 3D, funny, crazy with music this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, that's
crazy kind of 3D, huh? You have to put on special glasses.
You do. You do.
That's very, very exciting.
I know.
And do you think gay men buy Valentines for their special someones?
I mean, of course they do.
Because, I mean, a guy is a guy. I would think that if you're gay, you kind of, you get the holiday off, I would imagine.
No,
I would hope.
I don't think so.
Anyway, this poor guy's walking around today, and the women that receive the gifts, I know, will not be joyous in their reception because they're going to know that they're getting
garbage.
The bottom, just what was left on the bottom shelf the day before. And I wanted to walk through, because there are guys looking at the cards, opening them up and reading them, and poor guys like me with a small brain looking at it going, duh, which one says I love you?
Right.
And I just wanted to walk up to this one guy in particular who was just struggling to just say, dude, you know what? Here's a really good one. Mm. Just take this one.
Help him out.
I promise. But
she'll enjoy it.
He was just, he would.
I'm not going to do anything for Valentine's Day. I'm waiting for Sweetheart's Day. Or is it Sweetest Day?
Sweetest Day, Mike.
Is it Sweetest Day or Sweetheart Day?
And who likes rape?
I like rape.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Good news for you, because if you like rape.
I like rape.
You're going to get raped when you go to buy flowers tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
I saw them off the side of the street in 1995 for a dozen.
If you like
1995, and I will buy those.
If you like being raped, wait till tomorrow, because everybody knows this. But the flowers that 2 days ago were like $30, yep. Tomorrow they're going to be $80.
Right. Right. Well, there'll be a windfall of flowers. And we're all doing the same thing. We're all in the same boat. And
again, where is it for us?
Now, the thing about those flowers that you buy for $19.
What about those?
You literally are getting them out of the plastic wrap, and they are beginning to droop.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I don't know how it is, but they've put some sort of chemical or preservative that keeps them going for like 5 minutes.
They're seconds.
And they're seconds.
Look at the weather. You know what they're in? They're in a wet. They're like in a refrigerator outside. When you bring them into your car.
As soon as they get in the car, they
begin the drying process.
It looks like one of those things on the movies where the flower shrivels up.
Martha Stewart says, no problem buying your flowers at a grocery store. She
really?
Says that's the best place to do it.
Martha Stewart.
Really? Gay.
And then the Scottos made really Mexican food.
Homo.
God, you're a queen.
Wow.
I swear to God, Charles Nelson Spiewak.
Hey, all right, I'm a queen.
And don't take any advice from this man. This is the man that
he doesn't celebrate it.
He right. does not have right. to buy anything.
Just trying to help.
Doesn't celebrate.
Just trying to help.
Oh,
and you
here.
Call me a queen.
How much of this is...
A flaming queen.
That's it.
How much of this is based on your progressiveness as a couple, and how much of it is based on your just your frugalness
My
as a
apathy?
Couple? Apathy, frugalness.
It's never been an issue of frugality.
Okay.
Because it's Carrie's idea.
All right.
I remember I once bought her a dozen roses and got yelled at.
I actually last night did an experiment. I watched both Oxygen and Lifetime because I wanted to see the commercials.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm so used to watching the TV that's testosterone-driven, ESPN, NFL Network.
Beer tires.
Where all of the ads, you know, as I mentioned, hey, are you a guy with a small brain?
Mm-hmm.
Give her this and she'll love you. And I'm wondering, is there the opposite commercial?
Fair enough.
No. What they run on the chick channels is this. Smarter commercials. Hi, girls. Well, the big day's coming up. And your man's just as dumb as a box of rocks. You know what? You just tell him to get you a gift certificate from blank, blank, blank.
Mm-hmm,
because mm-hmm. he's stupid and he doesn't know what we really like. Those were the ads.
Wow.
There are
and
no
wouldn't you appreciate that if your woman came up to you and said, here, buy me, you know, just buy me a gift certificate such and
yeah,
such.
Yeah,
but there are no ads. I was looking for something that is the opposite of what I see,
uh-huh.
where it's predominantly men, what can you do for your women?
Right.
I thought if I turn on the girl channel, maybe they'll have commercials like, you know, and wouldn't it be great if they treated it with the same reverence and the same respect? Wouldn't it be great if you had a commercial that was, ladies, this Valentine's Day, you know what he wants? Cheetos, a back rub,
uh-huh.
maybe some oral,
uh-huh.
but more importantly, a day of blessed silence. You know, and then you see the guy, and they're sitting, and she goes, I hope it's okay.
and he opens the little box and it just says, I'll be quiet for a day. And he goes, you're the best. And then she gives him Cheetos and she like lets him watch porn.
Ladies, every year, you know, we ask your special man to go out to stores and buy you flowers and candy and beautiful cards for Valentine's Day. This year, give him what he really wants. Leave for 24 hours on the weekend
just a day.
And let him do whatever he wants.
See you on the 15th.
See you on the 15th. No, I think, Rob, I think in fairness, don't celebrate it on Valentine's Day. Leave on Saturday. Leave Saturday morning at 8 o'clock and come back the following Sunday at 8 o'clock. Give him 24 hours to do whatever he wants.
I think the gift of silence.
And stock the refrigerator up at the same time.
Beautiful.
The gift of silence. Give him what he really wants. The gift of silence.
And it doesn't cost anything. And you get a one, and he'll love it because it will come in a wonderful hat box.
Remember, this Valentine's Day, no talking. Thank you. A message from Hallmark.
Would it be great?
Zip it.
You go into the Valentine's store. It's like there's a category that says, only speak when spoken to.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Right.
All the rules that we wish we could have for Valentine's Day. Gee.
Yeah, how about within 72 hours of on either side of Valentine's Day? Then it would be our week. You know, and you'd walk into the store, and if any women were in the store, in the Hallmark store, and you were looking for cards, they'd say, I can't really do. Shh.
Right. Not allowed.
No talking.
No talking.
He's buying you a card. No talking. No talking.
Oh, if only we ran the world, Mike. Valentine's Day would be a day that men looked forward to.
Yeah, but not now. That's just not the way it works. I made the decision. Actually, we made the decision. We're not going to do any dinner out tomorrow night because it's just it's frustrating to do that. Yeah. You know, it really is. So we're going to have a nice, quiet evening, and I've already purchased her Valentine's Day gift. I ordered it online.
Oh.
Dishes.
That's nice.
They're nice dishes. She said she wanted dishes.
She probably liked that a lot.
I bought her a new set of dishes.
Will that replace the plastic plates you've been eating off of?
No.
Melmac?
No, I still enjoy my plastic plates that I have.
Now, do you encourage others to eat out? Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
There you go. There's your plug.
Well, great price on Dom.
All right, whore. For God's sakes. Anyway. You know, I'm sorry, Mike. I keep pushing the wrong button.
Hello.
Because you switch microphones. So
yes, yes.
I'm trying to learn a new microphone position for you.
I've got a new microphone today.
Let's see how that works. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio Gods. How y'all doing?
Howdy. What's happening?
Man, I think McAfee's lawyer looks like Morris Day. If you put a split picture, he could pass for Morris Day or Morris Day in a time. Only thing you had to do was just give him a mirror.
It's McNamee.
McAfee's lawyer, Mike.
McAfee.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You got to take care of him on Valentine's Day because March 20th is Steak BJ and Shut the F Up Day.
Steak BJ Day.
I wish.
I think it is.
You know, you could work it around St. Patrick's Day where you could, you know, a month later, roughly a month later, you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Maybe it could be a trade-off. You make Valentine's Day her day and then make St. Patrick's Day your day to, you know, end up, you know, in your own issue.
I still laugh at that stupid T-shirt that's like the one that says I'm with stupid or the one that says, you know, I'm with her because she deserves the best. I still laugh at the one that's got the old-time 1950s guy smiling and he's got a big mug and it says, how about a nice big glass of shut the F up. Still love it.
Silence is golden.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Enjoy it, ladies.
That's just the precursor, of course.
You know, hey, there'll still be electricity. The TV will still be on, right? The sun will come up the exact same way it comes up every day.
Unless we get an ice storm. And that's got to be a guy's worst nightmare.
Right.
Let's imagine tomorrow night. You're home.
Right.
You're ready. You're even in the mood for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But you know at some point, you're going to get that time to be with the one you truly love.
Right.
That nice set that's hanging on the wall. But what happens if you get home and in essence, you're living in a bed and breakfast where there's no electricity.
Right.
There's no TV.
Uh-huh.
You have to have candlelight and you just got to like sit and chat and talk about your day and read and...
See, it'd be better if they had something like spouse camp. You know, send her to spouse camp.
Send them away for a while.
And like on the 12th, she goes to spouse camp.
Is that like space camp?
Yeah, it's spouse camp. You know, they go, they get everything they need, pampered, massage, all that. You know, maybe get a little cooking lesson or something like that. It's spouse camp, and they're there with the other spouses. They can talk. and they can dig.
Bring sounds back, run and dig.
Bring you back a wallet.
It sounds like a show on Fox, really.
Spouse camp.
Spouse camp.
And they really, it's like, hey, happy Valentine's Day. I got you a week at spouse camp.
Done. And here's how you sell it, really. Because you could have, they don't have to be gay, but effeminate guys who would be the counselors.
Yes. Right. Welcome to spouse camp.
You know, I mean, like that guy that was on Will and Grace, someone like that. Like,
yes.
Listen, all the things your husband, your boyfriend doesn't do, I'm here for you. Girlfriend, let's dish. Let's start with a Cosmopolitan.
Right before our Do Not Use the Remote seminar, we've got free swim. Welcome to spouse camp.
I like the seminar on how not to understand the remote.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
When you get a caller, I can't make the television come on. Did you try hitting on the television? No, I'm using the remote.
Ladies, we've all been through that. And I would say for this week, you're here to be pampered the way you should be.
That's right. And in between that, we're going to teach you how to be a better spouse, how to organize his things.
Right after our consortium on small portions.
Welcome to spouse camp. Everybody gets a free spouse camp t-shirt. And you get a new hairdo. You get a new hairdo.
A spa thing.
Spouse camp lipstick.
And listen, all right, so maybe you lose a couple pounds.
Yeah. Hey, for certain sections of spouse camp.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, hey, they get the choice of
Mike,
when they go into the big, you know, the big meeting hall, the big log cabin where they register.
Fat camp is an ugly word.
Fat camp is an ugly word, but the spouses can sign up for whatever they think will improve them.
Right.
Yes.
And really, what is spouse camp other than an attempt to bring their minds back to the 1950s? You know, prepare the children for when he's coming home.
Yes.
Yes.
Make him a nice dinner. Fix him a drink.
Chill the martini.
Well, one of the offerings will be mixology.
And on Saturday night, the highlight of spouse camp, the screaming contest. Yeah.
Get it all out of their system.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe even injure your voice.
And then 8 o'clock Sunday morning, back on the bus to home. What a week. What a week we've had.
The yellow bus.
Here's the serious question, though, in all of this.
About spouse camp?
Would you be able to seriously deprogram her in a week?
No.
Or would it have to be, darling, I got you the gift that lasts a lifetime?
I think you'd need...
Every 4 weeks, you're going to be going to spouse camp.
Well, it's almost like when they have a training camp in football. You know, the major training camp takes place over the summer, but mini camp takes place in the spring. Mini camp would be, you know, this would basically set the table for 3 weeks of spouse camp where the children are also brought with her and the children go to a separate place where they can have games and play kickball and do all that type of thing. Well, she has the intense training and they can, and really it's up to them what they register for at spouse camp. They can register for the weight loss seminars.
How about this for spouse camp?
What's that?
Your attendance is determined by medical issues and you go for about 4 days a month.
So if you got some certain maladies, you go
more
often.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a malady. It could be something normal, but Robbie, it might take about 4 days every month.
Listen, you give them a nice three-day weekend once a month. You find a nice spot, a nice...
Kind of like the Army Reserves.
Something like, you know, let's not get exotic like Florida.
How about Camp Maria?
Something like Alabama. You know, something just,
out of state.
Just below the Mason-Dixon line.
Fair enough.
Within a drive of Washington, you could make it Alabama.
You give her a nice bus ticket.
West Virginia. The mountains of West Virginia.
Might be better.
There you go. West Virginia. Uh-huh. You give her a bus ticket.
Right.
Give her a little kiss on the cheek. Say, I love you very much.
They get the big yellow t-shirt that has SC on it, spouse camp.
She say, I love you too, and thank you for sending me to spouse camp.
Right. And then they really, and here's the deal. Here's the deal. They have to prepare their own meals.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they can only eat those meals when the team of male judges determine that those meals are edible.
It just came to me again. Now, this is why the guy has got to be like a... Martin Short and that bad movie, The Father of the Bride.
Or the blonde guy in Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Carson would be perfect. Cause, right. Because he'd be, okay.
Or Tim Gunn.
Spouse camp.
Welcome to spouse camp.
Good morning. Good morning, campers. Mm-hmm. This morning we're going to talk about something that may be a little sensitive. It's about pleasuring your man orally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we are here all week until we get it done. Look at this. We have a bushel load of bananas. I don't want anyone to feel embarrassed. Come on up now.
By the time you get done.
Let's start with Carrie Spiewak.
By the time you get done at spouse camp, you're not only going to be good at it, you're even going to talk yourself into enjoying it.
You're going to love it. Ladies.
You're going to love it. Welcome to spouse camp. And we've got our thigh masters here for you. right over.
But remember,
every person that comes to spouse camp gets a free thigh master.
But remember, no exercise beats the exercise of cleaning a house.
Absolutely. Ladies, you really don't realize how many calories you burn if you are going from the moment he leaves until the moment he gets home.
Vacuuming is great. Scrubbing is great.
Right.
And you know what? Ceilings get dirty.
And you know that seminar, the guy would be standing up on the stage of the house cleaning log cabin where they would be at spouse camp, and you would have him stand up there with like the Swiffer and the Dyson, and he'd be throwing those all away and bringing out the original tools that can be used, like a bucket with a sponge.
And the stick that you used to beat the rug on the clothesline.
Yes. Going back to when women really were in shape, the prairie women who cleaned the proper way before all of these gadgets were
invented. That's right. If there are modern conveniences, they should be for him.
Yes, you throw those things out.
Right. We discuss all of that at the sturdiness seminar.
There's only one. There is only one appliance that is above all else, and then they hold up the remote, and you're not allowed to touch this.
No, this is for us.
Right.
Not for ye.
Well, because we know how to operate it.
Spouse camp.
Mike
O'Mara's spouse camp.
How do you get him down there, though? How do you get him down there?
You mean, do you think your question would indicate that you might have to trick them?
Spa.
You put Elizabeth Arden.
They love spa.
They would have to think that there's something in it for them.
Right. Tell them it's Pampered Chef.
It's a spa. That's what we tell them.
Yeah, it's a spa trip.
Spouse spa.
And then they get off the bus and they realize, all right, now we've tricked you. They're, number one, we are located about 15 miles from the nearest road. You would have to put spouse camp in a very isolated area so that they couldn't escape.
Like an isolated bunker. Like one of our...
Underground would be fine.
Maybe built into a mountain.
One of our doomsday scenario things.
They have that. They don't use anymore.
Ladies, welcome to the caves of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we ever, God forbid, have another 9/11, this is where some of our executives will be.
You've never been safer, ladies.
Our government
executives. We've got two places right around Washington, D.C. One's called the Homestead, one's called the Greenbrier. Mm-hmm. They're these luxury resorts that are in the mountains. Mm-hmm. You use either one of them, you get the licensing fee.
Right.
And then, you know, right when they're getting to the gates of the Greenbrier, the bus goes about 8.5 miles further to an isolated area. But they take a trip down a dirt road so they don't know where they are.
All right, let's cut right to it.
And you can blindfold them with little red Valentine's blindfolds.
Yeah, this will work.
Let's cut to it, Mike. Mm-hmm. At what point, when you know that there will be a woman out there,
right?
One of those goddamn women's libbers.
A feminazi?
You're going to get one of these uppity broads.
Right.
And that's when you're going to have to get out the car battery, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to get out the jumper cables, because let's face it, that's the only way that you're ultimately going to train your spouse. If they're absolutely untrainable, I call it the humanistic electric collar, except it only tells her mind what the boundaries are.
Meaning, you know, you don't have to go that far. I think you're being a little extreme. All
some
you
call
need...
it shock therapy. Mm-hmm. May I throw out another one?
All right.
Just real fast. Something that I've heard that works well in these situations.
What's that?
Something called waterboarding.
It's very good.
You don't need it. You've seen the movie Cool Hand Luke, right? You've seen the prison movies.
Endlessly.
You've seen Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Uh-huh. Sure.
What you do, and it's not a traditional night in the box. As a matter of fact, the lady might even have a little bit more room. But what you do, you put a bed in there, not a full-size bed, just a little cot. You know, she's got bedding. But underneath it, you run a tape recording of a man snoring very, very loud.
I can provide that.
And you
that.
Put it in there for 3 nights.
That'd be good.
And see if she's really uppity when she comes out that third night.
And how about this? Because now, if you want to make it just a touch like prison.
It's a night in the box.
How about a night in the Dutch oven box?
Yep. You actually do that. You have that through... the vents in the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, like being under the covers with a chronic farting husband.
If you do want to visit the waterboarding but not make it so bad, what you do is you perfume the water.
No, you know, you make it a water park.
That's it.
You say, who wants to
the water park.
Who wants to go waterboarding?
Right.
Waterboarding.
Right. Come on.
Like a sport. Uh-huh. And there's a prize.
I got how you could do that, too. You like say you go down a water slide, and then when they get under the water, when they come up, they've got the railings that pull them out of the pool. On each railing is a remote. If they happen to touch the remote, they're thrust back into the water.
Exactly.
It goes over their heads.
And
for just a short period of time.
After a few treatments, they'll start to know to avoid the remote.
Mm-hmm.
But until
you have to do that almost like that's got to be conditional, because it really is one of the most important
things. But I
tell
you what, and I say this very seriously, you would really have to love your wife. Because it would take an incredible amount on your part to wait for her to be reprogrammed you would really have to love her if you would make the commitment to say, I'm going to send my wife to spouse camp, and I don't care how many weeks it takes. Darling, I'm there because I love you so much that I want you to go to spouse camp.
Spouse camp.
Yeah.
To be reprogrammed.
Eye on the prize, though. It's like rebuilding a classic car.
I will wait for
you. And then at the end, to graduate from spouse camp, they would have to run the threesome gauntlet. And that would be a basic obstacle course that they would have to run with a supermodel. And, you know, the end of that would be they would be so close that they would want to bring the supermodel into the bed, into the marriage bed.
That would be nice.
Because the ultimate goal of spouse camp really would be breaking them down to the extent where they all will want to bring another woman into the bedroom by the end of spouse
camp. A better looking woman.
A better, has to be a better. I mean, if you happen to have a woman who's gorgeous that goes to spouse camp.
Got
to
be someone on the top.
You got to find a goddess.
Right.
What are you
really do.
Really? I mean, we're never going to get away with this.
Man, I'd like to try.
Buzz, we're taking pills. They're called. Duh.
Buzz, you may be a naysayer, but I'd say roughly half of America agrees with
us. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Boys yes, dream. Yes, I believe that Arnold Schwarzenegger should be the head counselor, and then you can have gay, you know, junior counselors. But Arnold has to set the tone.
There is someone trying to goof around, trying to make a joke.
Yeah, make a little joke.
Not Arnold's, a joking matter.
He's got to be busy governing the state of Canada. He's far too heterosexual to run spouse camp.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, radio gods, my lord, my lady.
Hi.
One of the classes that needs to be taught at spouse camp would obviously have to be Microeconomics 101, subtitled, You Don't Buy Things.
That's love cool. it.
That is
love
that's,
it.
That's great.
Love it.
That can
love
be a separate cabin
it.
Where they, and really, that's the rule. They don't have to really, it doesn't have to be elaborate. They just have to be brainwashed into never making any purchases that don't, you know, impact the family's diet.
No purchases for themselves.
Right. Right.
No pictures for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You could play the what's wrong with this picture game, and they see a refrigerator. There's no beer in it. And you open the door, and you say, honey, what's wrong with this picture?
Right, and then another heading, his favorite foods.
Exactly.
Yes. To, if I may, gentlemen, to bring it back to unfortunate reality, we're talking about Valentine's Day, and to my advice to the little brains out there that are amongst us that have a little trouble with this,
the easiest way
to shock and amaze a woman on Valentine's Day, which really doesn't cost a whole lot of money, but might really make cook her dinner. Just don't even tell her what's going on. You're going out, whatever, and then she comes back in.
Bye. Whatever.
Hello.
Well, hey, he had so much
TMT,
promise.
TMT.
Right.
Or TMT. Too much trouble.
Uh-huh.
Too much time.
Too much effort.
And Rob Spiewak, you're right. It should be spouse camp. KAMP.
Yeah, spouse crazy, like crazy camp.
Yeah. Fun, right?
Crazy spouse camp.
Because, you know, we're really all about fun.
Listen, right. The investors are calling and we've got a break.
Yes.
So happy Valentine's Day. One day early, everybody.
You could put crazy camp right next to spouse camp because the ones that don't make it through are going to go to the crazy camp.
A little tighter security in crazy camp.
A little tighter.
Our crazy camp, KRAZY.
Yeah, we got another runner.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.